translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who has created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, He is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Haribo. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Maya tata ida saya yada avita murtana. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy, just as the earthen pot rests on the earth. The place where the earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, the earthen pot is manifest by a potter, whose body is a production of earth. The potter's wheel, with which the pot is made, is an expansion of the earth. And the ingredients from which the pots are made are also earth. As confirmed in a Shruti mantra, Yata va'i puna yata, yayasha yivata, ya prava ashvata. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after being annihilated, everything enters into Him. Prakritita yata mukna. Thus the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, or Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Ishvara Prama Krishna, Shakti Ananda Vigraha, Ananda Ada Govanda, Sava Karma Karana. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He is an eternal, blissful spirit body. He is the original of all. He has no other origin, for He is the primal cause of all causes. Let's take from Brahmasahita 5.1. The Lord is the cause of everything, but there is no cause for Him. Shrupa Kava Ida Brahma Masura Sri Bhutana Ketasa Ashvita. Although He is everything, His personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadas Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, I'm here to tell you today that this is no more than idol worship. I hope you're all ready to meet your Creator, for this is nothing more than sacrilege to the holy name of God. If you'd come to me from about the age of 8 to the mid-20s, not only would I have said those particular words, but proudly gone into my bag, produce the Bible, and then expertly come up with 20 to 30 verses to prove that deity worship is nothing more than idolatry. Yeah? However, one day I found myself in A&E. It was the A&E that I normally work at, but actually I wasn't actually working. I was actually in one of the hospital beds. I wasn't able to move. I wasn't able to open my eyes. I could hear what was going on quite vividly. I couldn't respond. Then I heard one voice. It's a voice that I knew very, very well because they actually worked on the hospital crash team. They respond when all else has failed. Last chance saloon. If they don't get you back, nobody's going to. I heard the voice and thought, poor soul. Wouldn't like to be in their shoes. No way. Only there was a sudden hit. I thought, I know that hit. There's only one person that hits me in that particular way. And the words from that same voice said, come on, Dave. We're not having any of this today. I'm busy. Oh, dearie me, she's come to see me. At the same time, although growing up on a spiritual path, one thing hit me, and one thing alone. Who is God? I knew scripture. I could explain quite a lot. There was one thing I could not explain. The personal aspect of God. I could explain the picture, the impersonal feature. I could explain the creation. Yeah? Quite expertly. I could back it up with many, many scriptures. But actually, I didn't know the picture. I didn't know the person. However, I knew that great people like Abraham, Isaac, Moses had very personal relationships. Very personal relationships. Not only did they know who God was, but they also spoke to him. Very personal. One or two actually had glimpses. So they actually understood God's form. Me, I knew nothing. What's left for a man in desperation? Prayer. The only thing left. So I was laid there in the hospital that I work in a department that I knew very, very well. The only thing left for me was prayer. Dear God, yeah, before I leave this earth, I want to know one thing. I want to know who you are. Please do not let me die before I know who you are. Finally, I could actually respond to my colleague and actually squeeze her hand to let me know that actually I was still around. So we need to understand these prayers. We understand that Gajendra, he'd been struggling for 1,000 years. Imagine struggling for 1,000 years. We get fried out if we have to struggle for 100 minutes, 1,000 minutes, 1,000 seconds. We're fried. It's too much. Struggled with 1,000 years with the material energy. Suddenly he realized, oh, hang on a minute. What am I doing here? Then surrender. Last chance saloon. Surrender. But then he goes on to offer prayers. How many of us have offered prayers to Krishna? The prayers themselves are very, very telling. I was sat looking, and I was wondering, what am I going to present? Because of all you many people that I'm looking out, every single one of you are more qualified than me to be sat here today giving class. I know that there's many people online who also are more qualified to giving class. I was pondering. Because it's easy to explain the impersonal aspects, isn't it? Easy. But actually, it's not so easy to understand the personal. Only devotees can understand both the impersonal and the personal, and understand at what level they're at. It's interesting that Prabhupada uses this example of a potter and a potter's wheel. So that's quite an interesting, because I no longer work in the wards, I work in the community, and I've got a fantastic job, and my youngest client's 5, my oldest is about 92. So it's a nice cross section. And one day I went into one of my clients and he goes, "Look at that." And he points to the TV. And he goes, "That's a Clarence Cliff, that. What do you think?" "I don't know what Clarence Cliff is." But he's looking at this amazing bit of pottery, nicely decorated. And the person was expertly explaining about this particular vase and how he knew that it was Clarence Cliff because these particular markings and the way that it was designed. Client looked at me and says, "How much do you think that's worth?" "Not particularly my taste, a couple of quid." Turns out that in auction it's worth 250. I was quite taken aback. But what struck me was actually that they could identify who made it. They could identify its features. They could identify, yes, you know, we know where it comes from. I actually asked them, "Tell me about the person who made it. Tell me about what they're like." Not so easy, is it? Because unless you have that personal relationship with the actual potter, it's very difficult to explain, isn't it? And we see that even scientists get attracted to the impersonal nature of Krishna. There is a great scientific philosophy called the arrows of time. Anybody here heard of the arrows of time? Yay? But a little bit. Gets a bit complicated, doesn't it? The arrows of time. Trying to explain the nature not only of the universe but also the nature of mankind. And the arrows of time basically says that everything starts from a position of perfection. Yeah? But actually, given time, everything degrades and returns to nothing. Jai Jai Radha Kulananda Ki Jai. So everything degrades. Society itself, under the arrows of time, also degrades. You go from a very cohesion society to a non-cohesion society. But the whole philosophy is missing one thing. Because actually, if you turn around and say, well, how does that come about? It has to get very complicated. Why does it get very complicated? Because there is no understanding of where material nature comes from. Because we have separated material nature from its source. It's interesting that over time we start questioning. But then when we presented it's still a little bit difficult. And if I can, I made a list of notes. Probably not the best thing for me to do. But there is some notes on a class that Srila Prabhupada came. And it sort of struck a chord with me. Continuing his Bhagavad Gita lecture series at 7:30 p.m., Prabhupada spoke on verse 4 of chapter 9. He explained how everything comes from God and how God is within everything. At one point, perhaps as a result of an earlier conversation with the Mormons, he took the opportunity to explain why we worship the deities. Here it is said, Maya tatam idam sarvam yada ayakrita mritana. And that expansion, that impersonal expansion, not manifested, you cannot see God in a person in his expansion. Therefore, sometimes we foolishly say that, can you show me God? God is here. You have to make your eyes to see, just like God is here in the temple, but somebody is thinking that this is not God. This is a statue or an idol. They are worshipping idols. Yeah? Worshipping deity worship. Do we actually understand the importance of this deity worship that we undertake? Is it just a sheer ritual? Yeah, I come to the manor for a few days every month. I jump up and down in front of these deities. And then I'll go back to sunny Wales where it never rains. And I will then worship my 42-inch plasma HGTV with my Believing Better Maya, otherwise known as Sky TV. Yeah? We often hear, well, that's for the temple devotees. Yeah? We put a lot of onus on temple devotees. And if we see a mistake by a temple devotee, it's terrible, isn't it? You see them, devotees, them ones, living in the temple. Yeah? Actually, what we forget is actually that whether we live in the temple or whether we live outside of the temple, the standards are the same. Shocking. No way. Really? Remember the Srila Prabhupada's earliest memories was seeing his father doing aarti. Where was his father doing aarti? Chief Pujari in the local temple? Where was he? At home. Yeah, at home. For those who come and spend a little bit of time in the temple, and sadly to say, I've never had the opportunity to spend a good period of time in the temple, what you learn here is not just for here. What you learn here is for takeaways. You take it away. You take it with you. It's about learning the personal aspect. We've been given an opportunity, very rare in this material world, that we can not only see Krishna's manifestation as material, but we can actually see him personally. personally. That we actually have an opportunity each and every day to serve the deities. Specifically, for people at home, there is no exemption certificate. We like in ISKCON our exemption certificates, especially when it comes to fasting days. Prabhupada said that if I'm working, I can eat. I've done my 15 minutes, now where's the pizza? Yeah? Deity worship, the offering of food to Krishna, and disputing that food as prasadam is not only temple duty, but is the duty of the grihastha at home. Okay, a bit shocking that, isn't it? We need to develop this very sincere, very personal relationship with Krishna. Because who here can tell me the exact time, date, and second you are going to leave this particular material body? Anybody? Anybody here know when they're going to remain with their full mental capacity and thought processes? Anybody? No. What time do we give class to? 8:30. Right. I didn't think I could last this long. We need to develop a very personal relationship. I'm going to relate a little story. True story. I believe we always say that when we give a story. One of the people that I trained with did mental health. And then one day he phoned me up and he said, I've got a terrible problem. There's a little Indian guy here and he's doing our head in. He's running around the unit. We haven't got a clue what he's saying. We're frightened that somebody's going to either hit him or he's going to collapse. Mental health unit dealing with dementia. Thought, oh no, this little Indian man, I hope he's not going to, you know. I don't know any Hindi. No. Okay, I'll come along. You know, I don't know if I can do anything because although I do know a lot of people in an Indian body, I don't actually know the language. So I went in and there's this little Indian guy. A little bit like Shruti Dhan, but a little bit older. Yeah? And he's running around the unit and he's grabbing hold of anyone and everyone. I couldn't quite hear what he was saying. He caught eye of me. He came running over, grabbed hold of me with a vice-like grip, looked into my eyes, and anybody any idea what he said? God is good. Sitaram. 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 Phew. I knew what he was saying after all. I was getting a little bit worried. I know what he's saying. So I leant over and very gently whispered in his ears a particular set of words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. His eyes lit up. Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna. So I carried on chanting, what can you do? Attraction to the holy names of God, Krishna. So he came along and we sat down. He leant his head on my shoulder and he fell asleep. They were dumbfounded. 4 weeks he's been running around this unit. You've spoken to him for 30 seconds and he's fast asleep. The best is yet to come. We've got a bit of a problem when it comes to dinner. He throws all of it on the floor. We've got to remember this is a little guy with dementia. So it's not unusual for Floyd to be thrown on the floor. What are you giving him? Oh, you know, the usual. So they presented him with a plate and the usual meat product was there. Yeah? Yeah. It says on his notes, Hindu, but, you know, everybody eats meat, don't they? Yeah? So the little Indian guy looks in the plate and the first thing that gets removed and thrown on the floor is the meat. And then he looks closely at the plate. And then he removes the products that were next to the meat. And obviously, they're contaminated. Yeah? Makes sense? Yeah? But then the food that was next to the food that was next to the meat, obviously, that was also contaminated. So that was the next that went. And the food that the food and the food that was next to the meat, that also was contaminated, so the plate was empty. See? Told you he throws his food on the floor. I'll be back. So I went to my bag, and because of this particular unit, they like to eat what I'm eating. For some reason, it's exciting. So I always carry extra prasadam with me. So I put a little cloth on the floor, sat the little Indian guy opposite me, bent over, Krishna prasad, prasad. He wolfed the lot. I didn't even get a look in. The amazing thing is that this little Indian guy, everybody who worked in the unit knew him. He was their local doctor, or had been. Yeah? Expert in healing the ill. I was heavy at the time with a cold. He couldn't identify the cold. Startling. If I'm ever going to be afflicted with dementia, please can it be that way? That I can remember Sri Krishna. I can remember the taste of Krishna prasadam, and I will not compromise in any. But I then got to meet his wife. A lovely lady. And we got talking. This is the importance of deity worship, guys. As we were talking, she said, yes. Didn't matter what happened throughout the day, and we know how busy general practitioners get. 3 times a day, without fail, he went home. 3 times a day, without fail, he offered aarti to his deities. Are we that diligent? How can we build a personal relationship with Sri Krishna if we are not going to serve Krishna each day? It's very difficult to build that relationship, isn't it? His personal relationship with Krishna was thus that even though he could not identify the common cold, despite years and years of medical practice, he could still identify Krishna. He could still see the personal form of Sri Krishna. Isn't that amazing? That we have to do. So it's now well past 8:30. Is there any questions?